Before leaving, I handed over a bottle of tincture of aconite mixture. Get a dose of this down him every 4 hours, Mr. Myatt, and be sure to keep putting cold water on his feet. I'll come and see him in the morning. I closed the car door and looked through the window again, at the slow rising smoke, the drifting snowflakes, and the three children with their ragged dresses and uncombed hair still stroking the pony.
"Well, you got the brass, James,"
Siegfried said at lunch, carelessly stuffing the 10-shilling note into a bulging pocket.
"What was the trouble?"
"Worst case of laminitis I've ever seen. Couldn't move the pony at all, and he's going through hell. I've done the usual things, but I'm pretty sure they aren't going to be enough."
"Not a very bright prognosis, then?"
"No, really black. Even if he gets over the acute stage and have deformed feet, I'd like to bet. Grooved hooves, drop soles, the lot. And he's a grand little animal, lovely piebald. I wish to God there was something else I could do." Siegfried sawed two thick slices of the cold mutton and dropped them on my plate. He looked thoughtfully at me for a moment.
"You've been a little distray since you came back."
"These are rotten jobs, I know, but it's no good worrying."
"Oh, I'm not worrying exactly, but I just can't get it off my mind. Maybe it's those people. I mean, the Myatts. They were something new to me, right out of the world. And the three raggedy little girls absolutely crazy about that pony. They aren't going to like it at all."
As Siegfried chewed his mutton, I could see the old glint coming into his eyes. It showed when the talk had anything to do with horses. I knew he wouldn't push in, but he was waiting for me to make the first move. I made it.
"Look, I wish you'd come along and have a look with me. Maybe there's something you could suggest."
"You think there could be?" Siegfried put down his knife and fork and stared in front of him for a few seconds, then turned to me.
"You know, James, there just might be.
Quite obviously this is a right pig of a case, and the ordinary remedies aren't going to do any good. We have to pull something out of the bag, and I've got an idea. There's just one thing," he gave a crooked smile. "You may not like it."
"Oh, don't bother about me," I said. "You're the horseman. If you can help this pony, I don't care what you do."
"Right. Eat out then, and we'll go into action together." We finished our meal, and he led me through to the instrument room. I was surprised when he opened the cupboard where old Mr. Grant's instruments were kept. It was a kind of museum. When Siegfried had bought the practice from the old vet who had worked on into his 80s, these instruments had come with it, and they lay there in rows, unused but undisturbed. It would have been logical to throw them out, but maybe Siegfried felt the same way about them as I did. The polished wooden boxes of shining, odd-shaped scalpels, the enema pumps and douches with their perished rubber and brass fittings, the seton needles, the ancient firing irons, they were a silent testament to 60 years of struggle. I often used to open the cupboard door and try to picture the old man wrestling with the same problems as I had, travelling the same narrow roads as I did. He had done it absolutely on his own, and for 60 years. I was only starting, but I knew a little about the triumphs and disasters, the wonderings and worryings, the hopes and disappointments, and the hard labour. Anyway, Mr. Grant was dead and gone, taking with him all the skills and knowledge I was doggedly trying to accumulate. Siegfried reached to the back of the cupboard and pulled out a long, flat box. He blew the dust from the leather covering and gingerly unfastened the clasp. Inside, a fleam, glittering on its bed of frayed velvet, lay by the side of a round, polished bloodstick. I looked at my employer in astonishment.
"You're going to bleed him, then?"
"Yes, my boy. I'm going to take you back to the Middle Ages." He looked at my startled face and put a hand on my arm. "But don't start beating me over the head with all the scientific arguments against bloodletting. I've no strong views either way."
"But have you ever done it? I've never seen you use this outfit."
"I've done it. And I've seen some funny things after it, too." Siegfried turned away as if he wanted no more discussion. He cleaned the fleam thoroughly and dropped it into the sterilizer. His face was expressionless as he stood listening to the hiss of the boiling water. The gypsies were again hunched over the fire when we got there, and Mr. Myatt, sensing that reinforcements had arrived, scrambled to his feet and shuffled forward, holding out another 10-shilling note. Siegfried waved it away.
"Let's see how we get on, Mr. Myatt," he grunted.
He strode across the grass to where the pony still trembled in his agonized crouch. There was no improvement. In fact, the eyes stared more wildly, and I could hear little groans as the piebald carefully eased himself from foot to foot.